I didn't get my dessert the first time I went through. And Helen said, you're probably going to miss out on it. So you don't know how these people like desserts. So here she comes with my dessert. And I thank you. That was really, really good. But I have really looked forward to being here tonight and through Wednesday night. And I'm glad that you're here. And this week will go by very fast, very fast. Pray for me next week. I'll be at, where I'm going to be, Liberty Baptist Church through Wednesday. Then I go and preach on a sawdust trail at a tent revival. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Boy, I'm going to let it go there. Yeah, I love those old tent revivals. And God just really comes down and blesses. But I believe right now that the Lord is going to do something special tonight. And she's the cutest thing, I'll tell you. I was 12 years old before I could walk that good. But she can just run and have a good, good time. And that's the way they need to be. Raise them right here in the house of the Lord. No better, better play. I'm going to ask you tomorrow night to bring someone with you. This place is about packed out this morning. Great, great crowd here tonight. How many visitors do we have? You're not a member of the church, but you're visiting. God, meet this pastor. Thank you, brother, for coming and back over here. Visitors, we're glad that you have come. And we just pray this week that the Lord is going to do something in our hearts. To him be all the glory. Amen. But he does promise to bless his word. I remember, I think it was Dr. Adrian Rogers said many years ago, if you're not preaching the word of God, you're not preaching. Amen? It's the word of God that has the power. It's the word of God that we need to hear about him and to lift up that name above Jesus, that name of Jesus above all names. So I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 14. And I would like to start with verse 19. Acts 14, beginning with verse 19. When you found that, thank you for standing. I do appreciate that. This is God's word, and we need to reverence it. We need to honor it, and we need to stand and thank him for his word. Nothing like the Bible, amen? Nothing like the word of God. So I'm going to ask you to give your undivided attention, starting with verse 19. Acts 14, verse 19. Before I read that, I want to ask a question. What would it take tonight to make you quit? What would it take tonight? We all know people at one time, they were faithful in church. They were always here. But then, a lot of times, we see them falling by the wayside. But I ask you a question tonight. What would it take in your life to make you quit serving Jesus? I want us to look tonight at one of the heroes of the faith, and his name is Paul. So let's look at verse 19. And there came thither a certain Jew from Antioch to Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, oh my Lord, of all things, watch out for your friends. These people were persuaded to stone Paul of all people. Be sure you know your friends, friend. Be sure. Watch out who you're listening to, who's influencing your life. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Wow! I would have given anything to have been there. Here, they drug him out. They just threw him out. And now, all at once, they thought he was dead. Old Paul stood up. Woo! Glory! That had to be a glorious time. But think about those who had stoned him. Can you imagine that he goes back into the city, and the Bible says he goes back and he starts preaching the gospel again. Can you imagine those people that thought that he was dead? Maybe some that had thrown a stone or two at him. Can you imagine how they must have felt? But oh, when I think of that, think about tonight those who without Christ that one day will stand at the judgment seat. That's something to think about. Amen. Lost people have thrown all kind of stones too. Amen. And that's the reason, friend. It makes a difference how that we live. Verse 20. Howbeit that the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Deborah. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming, watch verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's powerful scripture. And I'll tell you, I hope tonight it'll speak to your heart as much as it has mine. Pastor, would you ask God's blessing on the preaching tonight? Yes. 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 Amen. Thank you. May be seated. You know, sometimes it doesn't take much to make people quit serving the Lord. And you know, when I was I was just thinking this morning with what a large crowd, and we had a great revival last week, as I said, in Logan. And but some people, it doesn't take much to make them quit serving God. And you know, I was just thinking today, I wrote down just a few things, some of the excuses that I hear, reason people don't come back to church. Number one is, well, it's really inconvenient. I don't have much time. You ever heard that one? Oh, yeah. Another one is, you know, a lot of people just don't like me. The next one, that preacher preaches past 12 o'clock, and it makes me late for lunch. That's the reason I like to have lunch here. Amen. And then we also hear this. The church is too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Amen? And then I got to get up early. Man, I've got to get up and be at church at 11 o'clock. Well, I don't have time for all that Bible study. I don't have time to memorize Scripture. I just don't have time to do all that demands that the church demands. You know what? Not any of those was an excuse that would ever, ever be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about Paul, here that we see, that he had been stoned. He didn't know one that I know of in the Bible other than Jesus suffered any more than the Apostle Paul. But nowhere can you find that he ever quit. He took advantage of every opportunity in serving the Lord. And you know, I'm just looking at all these young people up here and them singing tonight. Somebody has been working hard with them. Amen? Somebody has been investing time. Somebody has been teaching them. And you know, heck, I am sure there were times that probably you had other things to do, but you put that first. You put the work of God first. And you know, that is so, so important that we never slack up any on serving the Lord. Drop down with me in verse 27 and 28. I love those two verses. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentile. And there they abode a long time with a disciple. That's a precious verse of Scripture. You know what they were doing? They had testimony time. They were praising God. The thing that jumped out was saying, look what God did working in us. Look how God used us. Friend, I've got a message that I preach real often, and it's this. We can do nothing without the Lord. We are helpless. In John 15, Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. You can't save yourself. You can't born yourself. He told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you got to be born again before you can go to heaven. We can't do that. We can do nothing without Jesus. I'm thinking of the blind man, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. He could not help himself. He could not give his own sight. But I know a man that can. I know a man that did. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Nicodemus, I know a man that can give you a new birth. And his name is Jesus. Amen. I know a man that was lame in Acts chapter 3. He could not walk. He was lame. All he could do was sit and beg. But oh, one day, he was out there and he wanted some money, but he needed a miracle. Amen. I laughed at old when he said, Peter, would you help me? Silver and gold have I none. That's the reason I know he was a Baptist preacher. And then right off, he said unto him, rise up. Take your bed and walk. And immediately he rose up. And I love what he said. Man, he went to the temple leaping and praising God. Let me tell you, if you get saved real good, you're going to be praising God. Amen. You're going to be kicking up, man, all day. That ain't too bad for a man 81. Amen. I'm still kicking. Praise the Lord. Hey, let me tell you, Jesus will meet every need that you'll ever have. He'll give you whatever that you need to do the work that he has called you to do. People always saying, well, good day at 81. When are you going to retire, preacher? I said, retire? I just got retreated a year ago. What in the world you want to retire from serving God? I mean, man, when God called me to preach back in 1981, he had a beginning. But he didn't tell me about an end. Do you know that was a revival in Lynchburg, Virginia in 1909. And I just happened to get one of the cards that they were giving out. 1909. Some of you, you're not quite that old yet, are you? But anyway, it said there, the revival, they had two services every day. Had a service in the morning at 9:30. They had another service at 7 that night in the old city armory in Lynchburg, Virginia. But what stood out with me, they had a starting date, but there was no closing date. I had talked to some of the old friends, and they said that revival went on for a solid month. A solid month. You know what? Man, when God starts something and the fire starts getting into people and they get excited about God, he changes us. Amen? Like I preached this morning, the things that I used to love, I learned to hate. I don't go back to the dance halls anymore. I don't go back to the beer joints anymore. I don't talk like I used to anymore. Woman told me I was preaching up in Northern Virginia, and they said, man, you sure do talk funny. I said, honey, you wait till you get to heaven. Everybody's going to talk Southern once we get up there. Amen. Woo! I'll tell you, listen. We just need to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we just learn to do that. What a difference it makes. That's what they were doing here. They had gathered, the church had got together, and they were telling everybody, look what the Lord did. Well, old Joe got saved, Nancy got saved. Bill got saved, and look at this whole family now. They are in church serving the Lord. They were so excited, and where did it happen? When the church got together. You know what? We ought to have a whole lot more time of testimony in church, just talking about Jesus on what he has done and what he wants to do and how lives have been changed. We had a visit before preacher and I, before we came, and I really enjoyed that visit. How many of y'all remember Billy that you sat right up here with me? Wasn't he a blessing? I met his wife today. And she's supposed to come tomorrow night. And we just had the best visit and talking about him and what a change that was in his life. And, hey, he got gloriously saved. And, oh, we just had a good time, good time. And you know what? That's what we ought to do. We ought to be talking more and more and more about what Christ has done and how that lives that he has changed. Billy, I liked your Sunday school lesson this morning. Billy was just talking about the joy that a Christian has. I can't wait to see some people I've never seen them get happy. I can't wait to see what it's going to be in heaven. Can't you? They can say, what's going on with me? I never did do that down there. I never got, I can't stop. And they just going to be laughing and praising God. I can't wait to see some of them. Amen? Don't you hate to get around old prune face? Oh, my Lord. Some people, if you ask them, well, how'd your day go? You might as well pull a chair up and sit down. They're going to tell you everything that was wrong in that day, amen? But, oh, when you get a hold of one that says, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he is doing in my life. I believe in the book of Hebrews, and I want to show you something. I believe this is what causes so many people to quit. If you got a pen, a paper, I'd like for you to write these three things down. Because this is the tools that Satan will use every time if he can get you down and get you discouraged. In Hebrews chapter 2, most of the time when you're seeing people run out of the back door, it always goes back to this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, look with me in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them slip. Let them slip. Listen, it's a terrible thing when we start letting the things of God slip. Don't ever miss a day not reading your Bible. Don't ever miss a day not spending a lot of time in prayer. I wonder today, how many people you can sit and watch television for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, but spend 5 minutes in prayer? That ought not be. We ought to be spending more time in prayer. Why? Don't let these things slip. You know what? Most of the time, we'll see that when people slip away from church, it is because they've got away from the basic thing that God tells us to do. Amen? Don't let them slip. And then the second thing is this, and Satan will have a field day with it. After that, when a person starts doubting the Word of God, doubting, look at chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as our Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, we could camp right there for a while, amen? Brother, if God, when God's speaking, it's time to listen. It's time to listen. And you know, so many times, if you let the thing slip away that you used to do, and then when God is speaking, brethren, and then we don't hear that voice. I've noticed this, and I didn't bring it out this morning with Moses and Aaron. But, you know, I am sure God had spoken to Aaron and tried to get him right and get him to be faithful. He had to send somebody else. He had to send a Moses. And, you know, so many times when a person refuses to listen to God, listen to the Word of God, God many times will send someone else to warn that person and to tell them. I don't think I've told this, but I can remember a number of years ago, I had the privilege of leading a man to Christ by the name of Joe. His wife's name was, it'll come to him in a minute, Hazel. And I can remember they grew so much in the things of the Lord. In fact, they bought our first piano in our church. Our church was just growing leaps and bounds. We grew from probably 50 to 300 in a short time. Everybody was excited. Everybody, and boy, they got in there, and they were doing so, so good. And then Hazel had to have surgery. And I remember going to the hospital, and I know she was upset, and Joe was upset. And I said, "Joe, what's going on? Is something serious that I don't know about?" And he hung his head. He said, "Can we go down to the chapel and pray?" I said, "Sure we can." I thought maybe it was a medical problem. We got down, and he began to weep. And he said, "She's in the hospital because of my sin." I said, "Joe, what in the world have you done?" He said, "Well, as you know, I'm a truck driver. And I travel all over the country." And he said, "She doesn't know about it, but God does." And he said, "I've got many companions out there." And he said, "God has warned me, and God has warned me, and God has warned me." We prayed there in that chapel. I said, "Won't you repent of that?" He said, "I will, I will." Joe got down on his knees in that chapel, and he repented, and he asked God to forgive him. Watch this. So many times, there's a price to pay because of sin. Joe and Hazel had a boy by the name of Barry. Same name what my son is. Barry had idolized his daddy. He loved him. Barry was a great baseball player. And he heard about what his daddy had done. And he couldn't handle it. They put him, went to a psychiatrist, tried to straighten him out, but he couldn't. He couldn't get over what his daddy had done. And it was a terrible thing. I'll never forget this night. I was preaching a revival in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. It was early on Monday morning, and I got a phone call from my secretary at the church. She said, "A terrible thing has happened." I said, "What in the world? It's been so bad." She said, "You remember Barry?" I said, "Why, sure I do." Barry got up early one morning, that morning, went and got his daddy's shotgun, came and shot his daddy, shot his mother, and shot at his sister that was running across the lawn, and he thought he'd killed her. She fell and just played dead. It's the only time in my ministry I have ever, ever, ever had to preach a funeral with the father, with the mother, and with the son. He took his own life. The wages of sin is high. Sin will do this. Sin will take you a whole lot farther than you want to go. Its sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It happens. That's the reason we ought to hate sin. We ought to fight sin. Paul said, "I fought a good fight." He wasn't shout of boxing. He hated sin that much. We ought to hate sin that much, friend. Sin will kill you. Sin is what it is, send people to hell. Sin is what it is that breaks up homes and marriages. I know what I'm preaching tonight is not popular, but I'm just going to preach the Word of God tonight. And you know what? It's serious. And that's the reason. Thank God, there's grace. God forgives. If God didn't forgive sin, I wouldn't be preaching here tonight. I'd been in hell a long time ago. But thank God for the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord. And that's the reason, friend, church, listen to me. It's a serious thing when we start sliding away from God. It's a serious thing when we start doubting the Word of God. God's Word is true. God forgives sin. God saves. God blesses. But I'll tell you what. God warns, and when people do not listen to the warning of God, it's a serious thing. It's on thin ice. I've got two men I'm dealing with right now concerning just what I've been preaching tonight. And I tell them, you're on thin ice. God's not going to let you get by with what you're doing. You're going to pay a price. Repent. Turn from that. Get right with God. Get back into your homes and your marriage and your children. Get back there. And you know what? There's a price to pay, friend, when we do not listen to God. Amen? Got kind of quiet in here tonight, Martin. The third thing is this. Turn with me in chapter 5, one verse of Scripture, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and it's hard to utter, seeing you are what? Dull of hearing. When we get dull of hearing, we get sluggish. The preacher can preach his heart out, but it just goes over our head. When we read the Word of God, that's for somebody else, but it's not. And it's serious business. And that's the reason that is the same three things that the devil will use every time. When we drift away, when we start doubting the Word of God, and when the Word of God gets dull to us. And it's a serious matter. And that's the reason we need to take heed when God is speaking to us and obey the Word of God and do the things that God has told us to do. And it's very serious when we don't do that. Well, I'll tell you, I thank God tonight that He will forgive. I thank God tonight that He will give us a fresh start in life and forgive us of our past. But I'll tell you what, like I preached this morning, there's only two places. A place called heaven and a place called hell. I'm glad my reservations have been made. Woo! Can I share with you an old story? Martin, this one's got whiskers on it. You've heard it a long time. It happened down in Henderson, North Carolina. What was that? Okay, yeah. But anyway, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I had revival scheduled there, and I remember pulling in, and it was fishing season. Everybody, I guess, from Ohio had come down to fish, and I pulled in the parking lot. Boy, it was just filled up. So when I started in to the motel there, this great big guy, he was a fisherman. He stepped right in front of me and he said, "Buddy, no need to go in there. All the rooms have been taken in Henderson. There's no room anywhere. We're going to have to sleep in our cars tonight. So you're wasting your time going in there." And I said, "Thank you." He was too big for me to argue with. So anyway, I went on up to the desk. I said, "I'm Reverend Earl Clarkson." She said, "Yes, sir. We've been expecting you." Never will forget it. She said, "You'll be in room 109. Here's your key. Hey, by the way, here's a big old fruit basket that Churchland brought for you." Whew. That'll make you do it. I grabbed my fruit basket, grabbed my key, and I was going to my car, and all at once that same great big old fisherman stepped right in front of me, I never forget what he said. I want to know how you got a room and we didn't get one. I said, simple, sir. I made reservations. Woo! I'll tell you what, that's the only way that we'll ever get to heaven. We have to make reservations. You'll never make it without reservations. I don't care how good a fisherman you are. You're not going to heaven without making reservations with Jesus Christ. And you know what is so sad? So many people today are trying to get there because they work, they give, they do this or do that. They are lost as lost can be. You'll never, never be saved apart from Jesus Christ. Watch this, watch this. I preached it this morning. I'm preaching it tonight, and I'll probably preach it tomorrow night. Y'all got it yet? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, that is the only way, is to receive the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he did on Calvary. There's no other way. No other way. You're not going to make it. And I was just thinking when I was quoting that scripture, if the rapture occurred tonight, before you ever got home tonight, would you be left or would you be going? Going to be a lot of people that's left. I don't know this, but I think that I'm pretty close to it. I believe it's probably somewhere between 25 and 35% of church membership that's only saved, only born again, only born again. That's a change. I was a member of two churches, just lost as I could be. Preacher asked me, he said, do you believe in Jesus? I said, yeah, I didn't know. All I knew that his name Jesus. He said, okay, you saved. I won't say it. I just lost as I could be. And then y'all heard my testimony. I went to another church and had the prettiest blonde-headed girl you ever seen singing in the choir. Man, I said, I want to get up and sing with her. Came down the aisle and the preacher said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was thinking because the other preacher told me I was. Broke my heart. I got up and started singing with the blonde-headed gal. She left the choir and left me up there by myself. But I'll tell you one thing. In February of 1960, my life changed for eternity because I knew then, and I'd heard a gospel message, and I knew that I was lost. I was a sinner. I had never been forgiven. And glory to God. Man, I'll tell you, something happened in that restroom. I've never got over it again. It's still just as real tonight as it was back in 1960 of February. I got saved. And I'll tell you, I knew it. Not only did I know it, everybody around me knew it. Amen. I came out of that restroom. I flushed that commode 7 times, friend. I was happy. I knew something had happened down deep in my soul that I never would be the same again. I was telling everybody out there, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. My past has been forgiven. Friend, I'll tell you what. That's when it's real. Amen. Listen. I know I'm preaching in a great church tonight. I am. You've got a great pastor. You got great workers here. You got the greatest cooks that I know of. I mean, you have. This is probably, if I had, this is not being recorded. but I'll never get another revival around. But I mean this. I would put this church, number one church, of all churches that I preach in, and I preach in a bunch of them. I'm in a different church every week. If I get one I don't like, I say, praise God, I got a good one coming next week. But you know what? I don't care how good this church is or how great your pastor is, and I'll love him to death. This church can't save you. This evangelist can't save you. I couldn't even save myself. But I'll tell you one tonight that can. And his name is Jesus. And he'll save your soul. He'll put in you what you have never had before. I'll guarantee you, if you get saved tonight, when you walk out of those doors, I'll guarantee you'll know something has happened on the inside of you. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? A lot of people play church. A lot of people just say, oh, yeah, I go to church. I go to church. Same ones. They go to the Ruritans and the Lions and Bears, too, probably. But they can't save you. But I tell you in closing tonight, if you, watch this, if you are not 100% sure you're born again, you need to make sure tonight. This can be your night. This can be your night. This can be your time. And I close with this. You're not guaranteed you got another day. We don't know. We don't. I believe God is speaking. You might disagree with what I'm getting ready to say. I believe God is warning America. I believe through hurricanes and through floods and for all of the different things, diseases, I believe God is doing everything that he can to wake America up and to get people on their knees and to get people right with him. Do you realize no one's going to take sin into heaven? You're going to have to be forgiven and saved on this side. You're not going to be able to get saved on the other side. You're not going to the other side until you get saved. Every head bowed. Let me ask you something tonight. I mean business tonight, and I hope you do. How many are here tonight? You say, Brother Earl, thank God I know that I know that I know. I can go back to a time. I can go back to a place. I can go back exactly where it happened. And I know for sure I've got a home in heaven. And no question in my mind about that. How many could say that tonight? Slip your hand up. If you could say that tonight and you got your hand up, stand with me right now. Just stand. I just won't save people now. I just won't save people to stand. If you're not saved, I don't want you to stand. Because you see, one day there's going to be a separation. One day there's going to be a big separation between the lost and the saved. And if you're standing tonight, right there, if you've got family or friends on your row, why don't you just put your arm around them and say, I love you and Jesus loves you. I'll go down that old aisle with you. I'll go down that old aisle with you. Won't you do that tonight? Do that tonight. Just say, come on, let's go down and get saved. I want you in heaven. I want you in heaven with me. Would you do that tonight? Would you just do that tonight? Could we sing Just As I Am? Could we do that? Helen, could you just lead us in Just As I Am? And maybe you too. And would y'all just sing with me tonight? Now, I'm going to extend that invitation just a little bit, okay? If you're here tonight and you're saved, but you've